Hey, what's up, guys? This is Ben Landers. I'm the founder of thepespecialist.com, and I just want to say thanks for being here. You're listening to the Phys Ed Q&A show. I hope this is an awesome, valuable conversation that will help give you some ideas and answer some common questions around the field of physical education. If you want any links for things that we talk about or summaries, make sure to check out the show notes at thepespecialist.com/podcast. And without further ado, let's get into the show. Hey guys, how's it going? It is Marcus and Ben. We're back at it with another episode of the Phys Ed Q&A show. You can check this show out on iTunes, any podcast player, or on YouTube, or head over to our page at thepespecialist.com/podcast for all the notes, links, and everything we talk about. Today, we're going to be talking about gymnastics. We're going to lay out our gymnastics unit, talk about things that have worked really well for you, go week by week for each grade level, and just talk about tips, tricks, and things that we think will be helpful. Everything will be linked on the show notes page. But before we do that, let's read today's iTunes review of the week. This iTunes review is coming from Kindergarten PEPD. And it's by Andre and Christina. It says, I highly enjoyed the podcast, especially the explanation on how they structured the running lines and walking lines, instant activity, and warm-up. Good PE content.
Nice.
If you did not catch that episode of How to Teach Kindergarten, that was one of the ones we got the best feedback on from the whole season so far. So make sure you go check that out. All right. Ready to get started with this gymnastics episode?
Let's do the gymnastics episode.
Right. Let's do it.
Gymnastics is one of our favorite units to teach in physical education, especially for the elementary, because they are motivated to move and to exercise, and gymnastics is a great way for us to practice and work on their control. So just like we do on any of our other units, we like to structure it and put it as a why we are doing these activities, and we feel like that is a great way to motivate students and to get students involved in there. If they can figure out why we're doing a certain thing, then they'll be more apt to take ownership in it. And in the end, we want to give them the skills and the tools they need that they can practice at home. We like to destroy a lot of myths in that beginning of the gymnastics unit. So before we begin anything over there, we like to go over the rules, and we like to do those different things, and we'll talk about that as we go along. But gymnastics is a great way for us to practice being in control, destroying a whole bunch of different myths, and giving students a chance to move their body in different ways than they normally do. So me personally, I enjoy teaching and doing the gymnastics. I actually look forward to it every year. So hopefully you'll pick up something that you will like and a tip that you like to do. If not, then you can always trash it on there as well. So what are some different things that you enjoy about the gymnastics unit?
Man, I love when we do our gymnastics unit. One thing I'll do as part of the warm-up is we'll do some Fitness Blender, which is a YouTube channel, some of their short yoga warm-ups. So they'll have like 5-minute yoga video follow-alongs. And every time we do it, I just am reminded that I just need to do more yoga.
Yeah.
Because it just feels so good, because I'm doing it with my kids. We're doing it, you know, 5 times a day because we don't do it with kindergarten. But it's just, you feel so good at the end of the day.
So stretched.
I personally took gymnastics as a kid for probably like 4 or 5 years, and I found it to be really helpful in every other athletic pursuit that I did for the rest of my school career, and even now in my adult life when I'm doing things like skateboarding or canoeing or kayaking. All those things like balance and being able to move your body in control are really helpful. So in the intro, I always try to make sure I hit with the kids that we're going to be working on flexibility, on strength, and on controlling your body. And if you have good flexibility, if you have good strength, what's the other one I'm missing? Flexibility, strength, and balance.
Control.
Yeah, balance. Then you're going to be a better athlete at football, at soccer, at dance, at cheerleading, softball, whatever you want to do. I try to make sure the kids know that what we're going to learn in the next few weeks will help them to get better at whatever they want to do. It's going to help them become a better athlete. Also, I like to hit parkour a little bit because that's a really popular thing with the boys right now. They're into parkour. And so gymnastics basically is just another form of parkour, or parkour is a form of gymnastics, of body management. Being able to move your body, being able to control yourself when you jump or pull yourself up when you're trying to climb different things. So we talk about that in the intro. I show the kids a video of some Olympic gymnasts. We'll highlight an example of that, or link an example of that in the show notes. And that just gives them some examples of boys doing things, girls doing things, bars, rings, floor routine. Just how gymnasts really do have to be kind of like this variety of different skills and abilities to be good at what they do. And then we talk about management. I have a different rule poster that I pull out for gymnastics. It's the only unit where I actually have a separate set of rules that I pull out. And we talk about making sure that some of the things that we do in gymnastics are different, in that if you don't do them correctly, you get hurt yourself, because we might be doing upside down balances, we might be jumping off of stuff. So I want to make sure that I set the stage for the kids and let them know that if you're not doing the things correctly, I'm going to have to ask you to sit out because I don't want you to get hurt. And so I am very straight up with them about that. We go over the rules and make sure they know what to do. We take our shoes off, so there's a little like specialness about it. We make sure everybody's on the same page before we even start. And I also like to make sure that I hit with the kids that are taking gymnastics, that they are only going to be doing the things that we're working on together. Because I have a lot of kids that can do a backflip or a back handspring or, you know, tons of different things, but we don't have springs under our floor and I don't have a foam pit. And so there's some things they can do in their gymnastics classes that we can't do in the gym. So they know that they have to come ask me or talk to me before they try anything that I haven't instructed them to do with the rest of the class.
Tips and tricks that you can do for gymnastics, because we do take our shoes off. That is the probably for me the in the first week of gymnastics is the biggest thing as far as the management goes, is having those students understand how important it is to be able to take your shoes off and put them back on yourself. So I go through a whole demonstration, especially with kindergarten, first and second grade, of untying your shoes and placing your shoes side by side against the wall. We have a double class, so one class puts their shoes against the wall while the other class puts their shoes against the other wall. And if you have our staff at our school is amazing, and for kindergarten they have instructional assistants. And so the week before I begin my gymnastics unit, I go by and I personally ask each instructional assistant if they can come early back to class to help us tie shoes. That might be something that you want to do at your school if you're taking shoes off. But that first week, especially with kindergarten, first and second, it is really important for them to be able to manage taking their shoes off and putting their shoes back on themselves. It makes it a lot easier for you when you get to third, fourth, and fifth grade. So the big week in that week one is understanding the rules that we go through and understanding how to, you know, take your shoes off and how to take care of the equipment. That's one of the big things that we try to talk about as well. Not crashing down on the mats. It's not WWE. It's none of those things over there. So you have to remind those students about those, because that's another great way for them to work on being in control. So it's a little something that we try to practice. It takes years and years of practice of, you know, having the students kick their shoes off and take their shoes off without untying them, and then they have to spend the rest at the end of class trying to untie their big old knot that they have in their shoes. So it's a tip and a trick that we try to do working on gymnastics.
For sure. I'll try to remember to link up an Instagram post that I did a few weeks ago. I just got done teaching gymnastics, and with my 4K kids, my teachers are really awesome, and they do help remind the kids to try to wear shoes that they can take on and off themselves. But with 4K, I mean, they're just trying to get themselves dressed in the morning and get out the door. They can barely remember to put their shoes on the right feet. So you got to have, you know, reasonable expectations. But with them, I just don't have time to tie everybody's shoes. So for 4K, the rule that I have for them is, if you know how to take your own shoes off and put them back on, you will be allowed to take them off. It's a privilege. But if you don't know how to do that, you're just going to leave your shoes on. So I have, you know, five or six kids that don't know how to do that, and they leave their shoes on and just practice the different movements and the different things that we're doing with their shoes on. And then if a kid takes his shoes off and he doesn't know how to put them back on, I will mark his name on my roster. So next time I know that they're going to leave their shoes on, because I can't be late getting out the hallway, because then I'm late for the teacher, and then the next class is coming in is late. So that's one thing that I do with the 4K kids in my school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before we start talking about what we do each week, let's see. What are some ways to get more class participation? I think if you were here at the beginning, we talked about like explaining the why to them and discussing how everything you do in gymnastics is going to improve whatever athletic thing that they want to be good at, can be really helpful. And then also just making the lessons fun. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of, we'll talk about what we do each week and how we lay it out to motivate kids and all that stuff. Let's talk about, this kind of relates to this next question from, looks like Shannon, which says, what would you recommend doing with limited mats? She only has 5 mats. So we have, gymnastics equipment is really expensive. We're both at, we've been in our schools for a pretty long time, and we've slowly built up a lot of equipment. You can check out our Amazon page for links to all the things, the pieces of equipment that we'll talk about. But you can also just do it yourself and create easy ways to use different pieces of equipment. This year, I bought a 2x4 and a 2x6, and I laid them on the ground. I had my kindergartners and my first graders just practice walking across it like a balance beam, doing different travels across it. You can use like yoga mats or things like that if you don't have all of enough gymnastics mats. If you have the space to spread out a little bit, you can work on balancing and jumping and landing anywhere. You can go outside and do things. So it just depends on everybody's specific situation, but if you're creative, there are always going to be ways that you can make it work. There's definitely ideal, which is honestly what I've got now after the last 12 years of like buying stuff and building my program and doing fundraisers, is really ideal. But then there's real, which is what most people are dealing with, which is you have 5 mats and you're trying to think creatively about what you can do. You can always do station format to spread it out. If you only have, I only have 1 trampoline, so I can't have the entire class do an activity on the trampoline. So I save that for the last week when we're doing stations, and we do it as a station activity. So those are a few thoughts. Always like to Google DIY with whatever I'm trying to figure out how to use. So if you're looking for balance beams, Google DIY balance beams. And then you'll find tons of different ways to build your own or make your own or some cheaper alternatives.
Yeah, that would be what I would tell you. If you have a limited amount of equipment, then you need to modify what we're telling you. And then you more than likely are going to probably have to do station format based on the one you have. You can have half of the students doing working on gymnastics skills while you have another half of the students doing something else. That's something that you can, you know, trial and error and figure out on your own. But we're lucky enough, and we have a good communication with other PE teachers in our district, that they are willing, you know, if you're not teaching the same thing at the same time, they're willing to share equipment. So that really helps us out a lot. And if you don't, like, I'm lucky enough to have a truck, so some of the things that we need for our school, I'm able to just load in the back of my truck. And I know some people don't have a truck, but I know the district might have some different things that you can do that go and get equipment from another school. So like Ben said, being creative and trying to figure out if gymnastics is something that you want to add to your program, then you have to have that communication, that advocacy with your administration and the people at your district and say, hey, I want to add this for the students because I know this is really important for them to be able to have control of their body. So if that's something that you want to do, you can modify what we're saying or try to find some different ways to add more equipment to your PE program.
Yeah. And then a lot of the travels and the jumps and lands, you can do them safely even if you didn't have mats. You know, you have to just use your judgment. There's some things I wouldn't do without a mat, and there's plenty of things that I would do with a mat. And, you know, I'd see kids doing on the gym floor all the time anyway. So it just depends on what you're comfortable with, and take what works. Trash what doesn't, as we always like to say. So those are a few just intro upfront ideas, but now we're going to get into the basics. Just for so you know our situation, we see our kids once a week for 50 minutes. With the exception, I see kindergarten twice a week for 25 minutes, so they have really short classes. And so we're going to do a 4-week unit, and you'll see your kids once. So each week is a separate lesson. So week one for me, we talk about the stuff we mentioned at the beginning. You hit the why, you hit the management, you go over the rules, and then you show them a quick YouTube video that kind of grabs their interest and really connects them with the content that you're about to be teaching them and motivates them. And then first week, we just get into travel. So talk to the kids about traveling with control, and we do a daily self-assessment every day at the end of the day. You can check out that system at the on the show notes page, or if you just Google daily self-assessment in PE class, you should be able to find it pretty easily. But the daily self or the daily challenge for them on week one for my class is, are you able to do all these travels with control without crashing on the mats? And I have anywhere from, if I have a single class, one kid per mat, which is super nice with the management, to where if we have a double class, we might have three kids on the mat. So they just know that take turns, one goes at a time. So if you don't have very many mats, you might have some extra kids waiting. And as long as they're not getting off task, I'd say that's okay, as long as they're staying focused. If they are getting off task, you might need to do like station format. Half the class is doing a travel with the mat. Maybe half the class is working on a balance or something like that, balancing challenges.
Yeah, we do the same kind of format on week one, same as Ben. A couple of tricks and things that I've learned to do is we had the kids also try to, you know, daily self-assessment on how well they do the travels. But I know some of the kids can't do all the travels like all the other kids can do. So we also, we have the kids sit down on the mat in what they call pike position, and we'll add a link to a Google image or something like that, that you can see what pike position looks like. So I give them a challenge as well. Say, hey, if you can't do all the travels, but you are in control, you didn't crash down on the mats, but you sat down in pike position every time we got finished with the activity, then that's something that you can do, because kids don't normally sit in pike position. So they have to have that really good control and that focus to sit in pike position to do that on there as well. So, I mean, that's just another thing that we like to try to do to add, to give some kids some success who might struggle with the travels on there as well. And we also give students a chance to be successful by giving them, I show them a picture of how we want to do, because we do a slide about the, we do a Google slide or some kind of format where students get a chance to work on seeing the rules and different things like that. And then at the end, I'll also show them a picture of how we want them to sit on the mat as well. So being able to manage kids from one travel to another travel is a great way to help to make sure that kids are focused or in control. So if we show them how we want you to sit on the mat, because all of our classes are double classes. So we have multiple students sitting on the mat at a time. We don't want them sitting right next to each other, because that's going to give them a chance to push and talk to each other and stuff like that. So we try to keep them spread out on there. So we try to give them a visual, showing them an image of how we want them sitting down on the mats. So there's just a couple of tips and tricks that you can use to help manage your gymnastics unit so it doesn't get out of control.
Yeah, sure. I thought, or from my experience at least, gymnastics is one of the units that very, it like manages itself almost, because you're, the whole concept that you're teaching is control. And so because of that, it seems like the kids are more aware of that, and then maybe they do a better job, or maybe you're just teaching it so much that they are more controlled when they're doing different things. At least that's from my experience what's happening. So for the travels, I'll provide some links below, some examples. But for kindergarten through second, we're just doing easy things like a kangaroo hop, where you're just hopping across the mat, or like a frog hop, different animal travels. We'll do some real basic rolls like the pencil roll or the puppy dog roll, where you're like rolling from your hands and feet to the side. And then with first grade, I get into forward roll. But I always make that optional for every kid. Anytime there's a chance that if you have a kid, especially that's really overweight, you don't want to have them putting all of their weight on their head. So you want to make sure that you provide options for kids and always say, hey, if your neck hurts or if your back hurts, don't think you can do it safely, I don't want you to do anything you're not comfortable with. So I always provide that little disclaimer to them. If you have a wedge mat, that's a great way for you to modify it for kids that are struggling for forward roll. You can roll down the cheese wedge mat. And then with third through fifth, we're doing some more advanced travels that are a little bit harder that maybe require more strength or more balance. And then we'll get into more rolls too, and maybe even get into a cartwheel or round off, depending on if the kids are listening and not wasting all their time. Yeah. And then the last few minutes of class, I let them either create their own travels or work on some of the travels that we've already done. They have a little free time to work on different travels on the mat.
Correct. So we always try to make sure the kids stay comfortable in there. So especially teaching the rolls, like Ben said, when we do the travels, we'll do one and then have students practice and then we'll do that. That's kind of the format we like to use. But in the rolls, we at our school, we like to bring them together and then go over the two or three different rolls and then send them back to the mat to practice. So that way, when you have that kid who's uncomfortable doing the four rolls, say, hey, you don't have to do the four roll if you don't want to. You can practice these other rolls or you can practice some of the travels we've been working on before. So we just try to give students options, and they seem to buy into those really well. So we try to do that, give kids options, so that way they are confident in the activities that they're doing. So we just want them to enjoy doing the gymnastics activity, so we try to give them some different options.
Yeah, for sure. Another plug, which this is not live yet, but at the time of this podcast, this show, this will be live. I'm going to hold myself accountable. I created some awesome animated GIFs that I used with my gymnastics unit. I just got done teaching. And so you can either check our GIF resource, follow the leader package out, or create your own GIFs. Yeah. But I just found it so helpful. If you have a projector or a TV, to have each travel looping while you're teaching it, and then you're walking around and teaching the kids, they can look up at the screen and do the travel, and then after 1 or 2 minutes of practice, you stop everybody, you move to the next travel, and then put the slide up for the next travel. It was so helpful. Similar to our jump rope unit, if you are familiar with that. If not, you can check it out on our website. But we had the animated GIFs for each trick. Same kind of idea. It just helps so much to give that visual to the kids when you're doing the different travels. So if you have a screen or a projector, definitely recommend either making your own or checking that out to see if that might be a good resource for you.
Yes.
So then week 2. Week 2, we are getting into balancing and jumping and landing. And for me, the way that I usually break that down is we spend the majority of the time balancing, doing different single balances. I might get into some group balances with my older kids if we have time. And then the last 10 or 15 minutes of class, we'll work on jumping and landing, doing some jumping tricks, and then it's about time to go. And so one of the things I did this year was we have an ebook called The 25 Single Balancing Challenges, and it has basic balances, intermediate, and then advanced balances. You can go download a poster with every single balance on it for free on our website if you'd like to. We'll provide links below. Or you just Google how to teach gymnastics and PE, and you'll be able to find the blog post. We're kind of laying this whole unit out. But I put a slide, and this will be in the animated GIF resource. I made a slideshow for this week 2 where it was a game called This or That. And I would have two different balances that the kids would pick which one they wanted to try. And if they had time, they would try them both. And then I would say, which one was easier, this or that? And then the kids would raise their hand and vote on each slide out of the two balances on the slide, which one was harder or easier. And it led to some great discussions with the kids when I would say, why do you think this balance was easier? And they would have to tell me, you know, maybe it required more strength, or because I had to pick one foot up off the ground. So then we started talking about bases of support and how you have a table with four legs. You take one leg off, that makes the table wobbly. It's the same thing with your body. And so we were hitting all these really great concepts of balance, and it was a great way to kind of work through those balances. If you don't have a screen, another thing you can do, and this is what I've always done the last 11 years, which is also great, is I would have the different balancing task cards out, and the kids would come pick one up, take it back, practice it, and bring it back and stack it, and then get a different one. Yeah. So you could do that too. They both work great. There's lots of different ways to work on balancing, but that's kind of how I introduce single balances. And then sometimes we'll get into some group balances with the app. Balance It, which is from Jerry Robinson, the PE Geek, which is a great visual if you're trying to do any team balances.
Yeah, that's what we do for our balance and jumping and landing week. Especially that second week, if you have the equipment for jumping and landing. That first week, we just have mats on the ground. The second week when students come in, there's equipment that's behind their mat. So the kids get really excited when they see the jump boxes and the different things behind the mat. And we put balance beads behind the mat for jumping and landing as well. So they get really excited about it. So I try to give them a good amount of time working on their jumping and landing skills, because that is an important skill when you're doing gymnastics or any kind of sport that you do, if you want to have really good jumping and landing things. But we use the balance app. I just screenshot the images and put them on the slide, and then I walk around with my battery powered keyboard and have the computer on there, and then we just flash through the screens and the kids just balance them and they copy them on there. So we'll play the music while the music is playing, and you can have multiple students balancing on the mat at the same time, and they just copy what they see on the screen. So that way they get a chance to work on some different balancing skills over there. So we'll go through some partner balances, and then we'll go through some group balances, and then we'll work on some inverted balances like the headstand and the tripod and the candlestick and all those different things.
Love candlestick and the tripod.
Yeah, so we'll link those on there and do some different things like that. But that's what we usually do for our balancing portion of our week two. And then we work on the jumping and landing as well. Well, the kids get a chance to practice under there. And we practice on the mats first before we use the equipment that's behind the mat. So we'll practice a couple of times, go through the three different steps that we practice on the jumping and landing. And then one cool thing that you can do before you get started, because our main focus on jumping and landing is sticking that landing and having a nice soft landing, is having a contest before you get started. So we usually do boys versus girls in the contest. And we'll have the boys jump and land, and we'll have the girls jump and land. And whichever one lands the softest, then that team is the winner.
Yep.
And they get really excited about doing that activity as well. So that's something that you can try to incorporate on any part of your gymnastics unit, having that, working on that skill of doing it with control. So that's what we try to do in that week too. But the kids really enjoy it. And then we also have the different jumping and landing tricks up on the screen. So we'll practice each of them on there. And then at the end, we'll give kids a chance to move around the room and practice on jumping and landing and different equipment as well. So kids really enjoy it. Gives them a chance to work on being in control a lot.
Yeah, for sure. We do the same after we do the single balances. I'll give them some balancing challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, can you put your fingers together and then make your legs go through the loop that your arm is making? And can you lay down on the mat? And can you stand up without using your hands to touch the mat? Just a lot of different challenges like that. With my third through fifth graders, I see if they can do a one-legged squat to see how much balance they have. We talk about the strength and the balance you need. So we do that, and then we work move into jumping and landing, and I created gift slides for each balancing challenge and also each jumping trick. So it would start just like Marcus said, kids do the jumps, work on soft landings, work on bending their knees, and then we moved into different tricks. And a lot of people have asked like how to get the boxes that you jump off. They're called plyo boxes. We've linked a few examples on the Amazon page, but if you just Google plyo box, you'll find a ton of different examples.
Yeah.
You can build your own, you can jump off of chairs, you can jump off of a bench, or you can just practice jumping on the mat.
Yeah.
If you don't have any equipment, that's fine. But the kids do love to jump off the equipment. And the way I've structured it too is like I'll have the smaller equipment for my K2 kids. And then for my 3-5 kids, if they can stick a landing on the small equipment, they get to move up to the larger equipment. Yeah. So just to recap, weeks 1 and 2, we'll cover traveling, rolling, balancing, and jumping and landing. Week 3, the next week, is when we do a quick review of all that stuff and then do a create your own routine. We have a little worksheet that the kids will either write in their different movements or they can draw a picture of it. And they'll combine different components. So they might have like a travel and then a balance and then a roll and then a jump, and then their routine's finished. And basically we'll give them pretty much the whole class to create that routine. At the end of class, we'll give them like 10 minutes to perform. And some kids like to go by themselves. Some kids like to perform in a group. And then I kind of just decide based on the responsibility of the student, if they're able to work together with somebody responsibly. Yeah, they love doing that. They love performing. And after each performance, I'll kind of go over some tips, or we'll talk about some refinements, like I really liked how they had smooth transitions between their balance and their roll. Or I really like when they did that balance, they had nice extension and their body was still. And I could tell that they were strong enough to hold their body still for 5 seconds before they moved. Things like that. So the performances get better and better as they go on. The last person that performs usually has the best one because they've heard everybody's refinements and they've been thinking about it, and then they can apply those things. I'll stop the class and give refinements like that throughout the time they're practicing as well to try to help with it. But then we do it at the end as well.
So yeah, the third week is a really hands-off, and you walking around and giving refinements and allowing the students to create those different routines over there. So that's the big part of week three, is giving students a chance, their freedom to work on those different things over there. So if you don't know what expectations you need for a routine, you can always check out those Shape America grade level outcomes. They'll have those different things over there to help improve those students' routines over there. But students really get involved, especially after week one and week two. They really get involved and really enjoy taking that time to practice creating that routine over there. So we do pretty much the similar things on our week three as well.
Right on. Josh on Instagram is asking, he says, being a teacher seems like a stressful job. Do you agree?
I don't agree. We talk about, dealing with stress and stuff like that all the time. But if you enjoy doing something, the hard aspects of it don't really apply to you because you enjoy, you have a passion about going to work every single day. We're lucky enough to be at two really good schools. And so what might be something that might be an issue at another school is some issues that we rarely have to deal with. But if you really enjoy doing something and you know how to limit your stress, then being a teacher is not really that stressful job for me. For me personally, I don't think it's a stressful job. But you have to do those things outside of teaching to help yourself. So resting and exercising and doing those different things and structuring and management in your class will help relieve some of that stress you might have personally.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think your first few years are pretty stressful because you're figuring everything out for the first time. Mm-hmm. Me and Marcus have both been teaching for 10 plus years, so we have a good idea of how to teach most of the things that we're doing, and we're not spending as much time having to do the planning and preparation for everything. So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
The more you go, if you can get through those first few years, it's not as bad, and you got to love it. You got to be passionate about it, and I love the process and love the management of kids and teaching kids life skills and dealing with frustrations and working through those problems that they're having every day. So the last week is the week the kids love and they look forward to, because when they walk in the gym, we have a different station set up. So we had a question earlier about what would you do if you had little equipment or you didn't have enough mats. You can do this station work and use it as a lesson. The kids can work in station format. But basically, we'll link a video that'll be really good for you to check out.
Yeah.
There's a video of me doing it before I created the gift slides, and then there's also another video of showing you an updated version of how I do it now. Like, I rent out iPads from my library. I have little animated gift slides that show each kid at each station like what to do. It's definitely not necessary, but it is really helpful if you have Chromebooks or iPads available at your school that you can borrow for a week to do it. But basically, the kids will go around different stations. They'll work on one station, they were doing rolling and traveling. At one station, they were doing vaulting. We have a little trampoline. They're vaulting over the mats. Mm-hmm. One station, they were doing single balances. They could do group balances, pull down the rock wall. I have a rope that the kids will swing on. So we had a swinging rope, balance beams, jumping and landing. You're basically putting together all the things that you've been learning and allowing the kids to practice those independently. Mm-hmm. And what's really helpful for that is if you have some visuals. So I put station signs with directions. The animated GIFs are helpful. I have numbers at each cone. So when the music stops, the kids line up at the cone. They look at their number. They look for the next number. And then they walk to the next station whenever I tell them to go. So it works really well. You got a lot of activity time in there. And kids really love it.
Yeah, we have the same station format over there, so the gym is set up a lot different in that last week than it is in the other week. But like Ben said, if you don't have the visuals, and like we don't have the Chromebooks and different things like that, so we take the station signs and we blow them up in the posters and hang them those up on the wall. And so you can have, while you're explaining each of the stations to them, you can have that conversation and say, hey, if you don't remember what the teacher says, or you zoned out, or you know, all you gotta do is read the station sign. The station sign will remind you what you need to do. So having that visual for students on there will be great to help with those management skills. So what I like to do on there is, especially with the younger kids, is going through each of the stations and having them see a visual on what to do at each of the stations. I find that it is kind of time consuming, but you are front loading your lesson on that last station so that you can spend the rest of the time having the kids practice the different skills. So it's important that you go through each of the stations to make sure that the management and control stays the same way. But after you get the one station going, then you can spend the rest of the class just going through the different stations on there. I know Ben and I, you'll see on the video that, you know, Ben and I will be next to the vault station because they are using the springboard / trampoline. So we do want to be there for safety reasons. So we do have that conversation with them as well. One thing that we've learned is the different ways to go across the vault. It's just to remind the students of being careful and those different things like that. So what we like to do is station the vault where we're sitting on the outside so that we can still see the entire gym over there. And you'll see that on the visual on there. But anytime that you're setting up a station, especially a gymnastic station or any kind of station, you still want to make yourself visual that people can see and you can see what the students are doing in the class. But stations are, once the kids come in, they see the stations are super excited about jumping in and doing the activity. But
yeah, they love it.
They love doing the station.
I had a class that was on a field trip for our station week, and then of course I can't set all that stuff up for one class when they come back next week. They were so bummed, man. They were so bummed they missed it. But yeah, that's kind of the way the unit works. So you're teaching, you know, travels, rolls, and movements that first week, balancing, jumping and landing, put it all together, let the kids create a routine, and then the last week the kids are just working on the skills they've learned, working on those stations. That's the format that we use. All the like details, videos, images, and things like that will be linked below if you want to check those out. Feel free to contact us if you have any questions. And I think that's it. You got any more?
I mean, the big overall theme that we would tell, that I tell kids when we do gymnastics, is to try to have as much control as possible. So we're trying to teach control in everything that we do, especially in gymnastics.
Yeah, I always like to, when I drop the kids off with their classroom teacher at, in our gymnastics unit, I walk them down the hall and I always say, your gymnasts are ready for you. And the kids are like sitting like lined up in a straight line with their shoulders
nice
back.
Nice and tall.
Yeah, so try to get that control aspect in as much as possible.
Right.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching wherever you are. And I hope you have an awesome day. Have fun and teach on. We'll catch you next time. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Phys Ed Q&A Show podcast. I hope it was so helpful and you got some serious value bombs out of it. Just wanted to let you know that this episode is sponsored by the PE Specialist Membership Community. It's an awesome crew of passionate PE teachers where we get together, brainstorm ideas, come to with common problems and provide feedback to each other. And we've got a ton of awesome resources like e-courses, online trainings, tutorials, a ton of unit and lesson plan samples, printable station signs, and cues posters, and I could keep on going, but I know you've got things to do. So I just wanted to let you know, if you want to check out the details and see if it might be a good fit for you, you can head on over to thepespecialist.com/info for some more information. As always, have fun and teach on. Have a great day, guys.